is Sunday, yay, March 10th, 2019. And today's topic is actually shocking. Why the medical industrial complex has nothing to fear from natural healers. Nope, nothing at all, nothing to fear. And this really just hit me over the head like a ton of bricks as I was working with my mother through a little health crisis that she had. And so her behavior to me was very, very puzzling. So I figured I would go check it out, look it up. And the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine, 2013, actually did some research on this. And I'm going to walk you through this phenomenon that the medical industrial complex has researched, what their conclusions are, and then some examples from really my own family. I know there are client examples as well, but my family examples definitely hit home. But first, let's see if we can find the Facebook people. We're going to click right here. You're trying to tell me something. Yes, the link went somewhere. All right, so let's click this button over here. And then we can click this button over there. All right, we're in business. Okay, so the medical industrial complex has done its own research. And this is something that I think people should really appreciate, which is that if you have any questions about the medical industrial complex, any doubts, whatever, the medical industrial complex itself has done an overwhelming amount, an avalanche of research, indicating that its own methods are, let's just say, in doubt. And so this is some of that research. And this research is about cancer screening, but it could be anything. So don't get caught up on the word cancer. A lot of people do. That's not important. The important thing is they did research on older adults and foregoing cancer screening. And this is done by doctors. And this is a basic introduction. It's like, why is this research important? Because although there's a growing recognition, in other words, there's an awareness, it's true, and doctors understand it, that older adults, that's people above a certain age, and those with extensive comorbid conditions. What's a comorbid condition? That means the person's already sick. So for people who are older and those who have many diagnosed conditions, they have cancer screening too frequently. In other words, the amount of cancer screening that they need is far less than what is recommended by the medical industrial complex standard of care. All right. There's little information about patients' perceptions regarding stopping cancer screening. So get this. Medical industrial complex has decided itself, no alternative doctors, but the medical industrial complex has decided, hey, wait, this particular thing we're doing for people, to people, and charging them a heck of a lot of money for it, is not a benefit to them. And we should stop it. All right? So the medical industrial complex has already made that decision. Okay. And so this research is on information on older adults' views of stopping this screening, which has been deemed unnecessary by the medical industrial complex itself. All right. And so saying that this research is going to help doctors and those designing interventions to reduce overscreening. Who's that? Who would design an intervention to reduce overscreening? I'll tell you. An insurance company doesn't want to pay for it, wants to increase its profits. So this research is done for doctors who are going to be a mouthpiece and deliver this news to patients that they don't need to be screened anymore. And for insurance companies that might be designing interventions, in other words, designing what the doctor ought to say to reduce this care, which is of zero benefit and may actually be harmful. All right. And so to get a deeper understanding of these older adults' perspectives on screening cessation and their experiences communicating with doctors about this topic, they did a little interview study. And it was done at a senior health center affiliated with an urban hospital. Now, this is something to understand. What's a senior health center? That would be like an assisted living facility or a facility where people who are older are coming under the, let's just say, supervision or organization created by the government. So these are not 100% independent seniors. These are people who are dependent on the government, obviously, for a monthly check, we'll call it Social Security, but they're even dependent on the government for their entertainment. So they're going to a senior center. Or it's a health center. They're not well or depending on the government for their health care. So this subset of seniors are slightly more dependent than, or just say slightly dependent. Maybe they're representative, maybe they're not, but I just want to tell you that so you know what they're looking at. Okay, so they interviewed 33 older adults, 76 years of age, and they're 27 women, 15 were African-American, 16 were white, one was Asian, one was American Indian. So for whatever that's worth, but half the participants were white and basically half were not, put it that way. And they actually transcribed the audio recordings of interviews. Get this. Now, you're telling you, sit down, hold on to your chair because you might fall out of it. So undergoing screening tests was perceived by participants as morally obligatory. They felt they had a moral obligation to undergo health screening to detect diseases they might not already be aware of. So this is shocking. A moral obligation? Whoa. What about an obligation to their own personal health? No, that's not what motivated them. They're motivated by a moral obligation. This is important. Because if you try to talk to someone who feels morally obligated and explain to them logically why they should not do something, then it's not going to work. Because their interest in screening is based on a belief they have about right and wrong. And it's unconnected with any legal obligation or with the receipt of benefit. So in other words, these elderly people are making the decision about screening based on a value system that is not related to their receipt of any benefit, financial or even from the screening itself. And this is why talking to people and saying, you know, that cancer screening is useless. That's falling on deaf ears. You're not going to convince anyone of anything or change their behavior. And so although many saw continued screening as a habit or custom, not involving any decision, stopping screening would require a major decision on their part. And so what we have is a population, they've looked at the elderly, but you could look at people of any age. And what we're really asking is, the person has a healthcare decision to make. They've been given all the facts, even by a doctor, in this case a licensed doctor, telling them what you are considering is of absolutely no medical benefit to you. And what does the person say? I'm going to do it anyway because it is my moral obligation. And they consider not doing it, that is the decision. Doing it is not the decision because that's their default setting. That's the setting of what they would do anyway. Okay. And many of these people interviewed said they had never discussed screening, stopping the screening with their doctors, or even considered stopping on their own. And some reported being upset when their physician recommended stopping. So you have these people, when their own doctor, licensed, certified by the system, employed, dressed in a white coat, says, stop. This medical therapy is of no benefit to you. You should not do it. People actually get upset. And some people said they would accept a doctor's strong recommendation to stop. How strong does that have to be? Does he have to slap him upside the head? Does he have to put him in handcuffs? How strong? What is a strong recommendation? I mean, that raises a concern right there. I mean, the doctor can't just give him a recommendation. That means a strong recommendation to get them to actually not engage in behavior that's of no benefit to them. Get this. Others thought that such a physician's recommendation would threaten their trust in the doctor or lead them to get another opinion. So get this. The doctor has realized that doing a mammogram or a colonoscopy on this 80-year-old person would be harmful. And what does the person say? Oh, I don't trust you anymore. I'm going to go to another doctor and get another opinion. How's that? And the participants were skeptical about the role of statistics and the recommendations of government panels in screening decisions, but were more favorable towards stopping because if you know they were given information about the balance of risks and benefits, complications, or test burdens. So this is amazing that people are in such a state of hypnosis that they are going to seek out obviously harmful therapy. And when the doctor, out of conscience or adequate knowledge, says to them, whoa, this is therapy, is that a good idea for you? I think it'd be harmful. People actually don't trust that doctor and they want to get another opinion. This is amazing. That is a high level of burden. So this is their own, you know, medical industrial complex research. Now, let me tell you about some real life examples. So recently I got a panic call from my mother. She says, oh my God, help me, something's wrong. I said, Mom, what could be, what's the matter? Now you have to know Mom is 87 years old. So her problem was she stopped her medicine for one day because she was so busy she forgot to take it. 87-year-old busy, okay, got that. And the next morning she felt amazing. She felt great. And then the doctor who did one surgery that did not work wanted to do another surgery. And my mother suspected the new surgery might not work either. So we sorted everything out for her and we figured out that she was being treated for hypertension that she did not have. She was being treated for glaucoma that she did not have. When she stopped the glaucoma medicine, her eyes cleared up. And she was getting wound care involving unnecessary surgery and direct wound treatment that was making the wound bigger. All right. So she discovers this after 10 years of compliance. That means obedience. She's obedient, following everything her doctor said, taking these drugs, and getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and feeling more and more forgetful and getting weaker and weaker. She stops all, so I tell Mom, you don't need to go back on those drugs. Just stop all the drugs, and we need to fire all of your doctors, get a whole new set of doctors. And then she says to me, now we've established that the surgery she had was not effective and not necessary. The doctor tells her that graft I put in is blocked. And so my mother says to me, well, don't I need someone to fix the blocked graft that the doctor put in? Mom, we established the graft was never necessary. We've changed your wound care protocol, what we're doing, and your wound is healing. There is no need to fix a blocked graft or put in another graft or do anything at all. And you know what she said? She said, oh, I mean, the disappointment you could hear in her voice, the disappointment. But I just glossed over that and asked the next question, which is the real bomb. So, Mom, are you going to drop your health insurance? Now, get this. This is an 87-year-old lady. And you have Medicare Part A and Part B and supplemental. Okay. This insurance has facilitated her receiving this damaging, mutilating intervention that was actually harming her. And so you want to ask, so I want to ask her, is she going to drop her health insurance? Also, the doctor is pushing her into surgery because she has got such good insurance. Those of you who are, you know, in that age group, 87 years old, you have a fixed income pretty much, and so paying $200 or $300 a month in health insurance premiums, you know, it kind of adds up. So nothing of co-pays, deductibles, transportation to doctors, parking fees, all kinds of stuff. So mom's caught up in all that stuff. And she was spending, if you add in her health insurance premiums, pretty close to $1,000 a month. Again, this is not chump changes. That's all. So I said, Mom, are you going to drop your health insurance? Silence on the other end of the phone. I do mean silence. I was flummoxed. That's a fancy word. It means I was speechless and confused. And my mother says, finally, no. And then I was silent. And then she finally says, what if something serious happens? I could not restrain myself. I had to say, Mom, if they cannot handle the trivial stuff, what makes you think they can handle the serious stuff? If they couldn't simply let you stay healthy and instead took action to make you sick, what do you think is going to happen when something serious shows up? Really? So this is what really opened my eyes, that alternative healers or people who get results, they are no threat. None whatever. None whatever. So here my mother is feeling better and better day by day, that she's refusing care and not allowing any interventions. And she says, I want to keep my health insurance just in case. All right. Gets even better. So I have to transfer my mother's care, at least the surgical care, so that the surgeon pushing her into surgery can't force her through government interaction or legal action, whatever, to get this surgery, because the surgery is very expensive, and the hospital would make a lot of money, the doctor would make a lot of money, and so it's a tremendous financial incentive for them to do this, especially if she has health insurance. So literally dropping her health insurance would stop the whole onslaught. All right, so now she's not going to do that. I have to transfer her care to another doctor who will do what she wants. And so I explained to her, you know, get this big prep talk before the visit. Mom, we're transferring you to this doctor. You're going to visit him in his office. You're going to chit-chat. He's going to accept you in care and transfer it. You know, he'll be your new doctor. His job is to do absolutely nothing. He is not to order a test, suggest surgery, or order any care at all for your wound. You can handle it at home. We've got a plan. We'll heal it up. So we're doing great. Because I'm three-way in long distance. And chit-chat the doctor, And by the way, we need you to do absolutely nothing. What do you think? He says, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, sounds good. Oh, good. I'm like, oh, thank God. Really appreciate it. Mom has instructions to pay cash for the visit. You know, and if he won't pay cash, by golly, she's got her fistful of Amazon gift cards that he can just pass on for any gifts he wants to give. So this guy is going to get paid. All right. So I think we got everything in the bag, and my mother peeps up and says, do you think you could order blah, blah, blah for me? We're going to commercial. We'll be back pretty soon.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go. Cause I don't want to stay here on my own. Oh.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we are discussing why alternative healers are absolutely no threat whatever to the medical industrial complex. And so I'm telling the story of my mother. So we get this doc, you know, they're all in the room, the doctor, my mother. I sent my daughter for reinforcements, another grandson for reinforcements, and this, this meeting is going to happen, and the outcome will be as desired. Okay, so we've got this. And get the doctor to agree. He says, yes, 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 he will do absolutely nothing. Yes, he will accept the transfer. No worries. He's happy to do it. Okay? And then mom asks him, well, will you order this? Well, will you order that? I'm like, ah! So, I excused myself from the meeting at that point. However, the meeting did go well, and the doctor agreed to order any bandages or wound changes that she might want. However, the treatment to healing this wound involves having no medical intervention at all. So I realized then that there was a problem, if indeed there was a problem. Let's just say, not a problem, but resistance. There was resistance on the part of this perfectly sane 87-year-old individual to say, you know what, intellectually, I know I do not need any more therapy or intervention. Intellectually, I know that my insurance has harmed me. But emotionally, I'm going to keep my insurance, and I want an ongoing relationship with a doctor. Now, we have another issue. So if you go into mom's records, she's got four doctors. She's got a vascular surgeon, which was officially fired. She's got a primary care doctor. She has, of course, a cardiologist and an ophthalmologist, right? Four doctors. Obviously, the cardiologist treating the hypertension she does not have, never had, needs to be fired. The ophthalmologist treating the glaucoma she never had needs to be fired. And her other doctor needs to be fired. So all three of them need to be. And so, of course, we now have the situation of having the conversation, which has not yet taken place, with my mother about firing her other three doctors. Now, fortunately, the other three doctors are only prescribing medications. And so there's not the big financial incentive to force her to cooperate with their care. So the glaucoma guy, it's just an office visit, you know, two times a year maybe, at Medicare rates, yawn, yawn. So he doesn't have the mega $20,000, $30,000 surgery dangling in front of her as an incentive to force her into anything. So she's actually pretty safe where the ophthalmologist is concerned. Then there's the cardiologist. Again, he's just seeing her a few times a year to prescribe the blood pressure medicines that she doesn't need, and she's basically just keeping his schedule full. Again, he doesn't have the financial incentive to coerce her into care. So it's not like he has found a way to recommend open heart surgery or some other massively expensive intervention. And so, and then there's the primary care doctor, of course, who's just totally discouraged, underpaid, overworked, and doesn't want to see her probably anyway. So these other three doctors, while they are dangerous and they are an annoyance, there's not a immediate reason to fire them. Although, as a precaution, it would be a good idea. However, running out of energy, emotional energy to deal with this. So you can imagine for me how discouraging this must be, right? So you can see how other so-called natural healers might feel. And there's a lot of pressure on the part of the victim or patsy or however you want to refer to the patient. There's a lot of resistance to the truth, whether it comes from a licensed doctor or an alternative healer. They're like, no. I have a moral obligation to submit to these tests, to keep these appointments, to engage in this ritualistic assault, ritualistic mutilation, and ritualistic killing, basically. So then my mother says, so you guys know I write jokes from time to time. So this really inspired me to write a joke. So this little old lady, she's got her walker, she's at the doctor's office, and she goes up to the reception desk to schedule her next appointment to check out and pay her bill. And she had this receptionist, and, hopefully she's going to come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
About why natural healing are no threat to the medical industrial complex. Okay, so I was telling you a joke. So this little lady is finishing her appointment with the doctor, and she's shuffling up to the checkout desk with her walker, and the receptionist says, "Hello, Miss Jones. That'll be blah, blah, blah for today," and she pays. And the receptionist says, "Okay, I'm going to be scheduling your next appointment." And the lady says to the receptionist, "You know, I'm 87. I don't mind dying, but I don't want to be tortured." And the receptionist sits up tall in her chair and says, "Well, I guess we won't need to be scheduling any more appointments for you." So that's actually a It really happened. Okay. So, that's mom's story. But it does not end there. Nope. It does not end there. So I have a brother. And my brother is 11 months older than me. So we're almost twins. And he has diabetes. He has hypertension. And he has a wound that the wound people have not been able to heal in 19 years. I kid you not. So basically, he had people, and they decide, oh, let's do a partial amputation of your foot. You're diabetic anyway, what the heck? So he let them do it. They did the partial amputation. And that wound from the partial amputation has not healed. Okay. So then he gets the bright idea. He's going to go on a water fast. So he goes on water fast, stops all the medications, and feels better. Blood pressure down, blood sugar down. And he had also, by the way, a harmless tumor removed from his brain maybe 8 months ago. And he's recovering nicely. So he feels like he's back to himself now. All right. So we've established that his diabetes has only been healed by, or improved, by his fasting, his personal dietary changes, none of which his doctor has recommended. Same with his hypertension. And this wound has actually improved with his natural interventions. And over 19 years with the wound clinic, no improvement. In fact, it's gotten worse. So I said to him, I said, well, Matthew, are you going back to the wound clinic? He says, well, of course, yes. I said, well, why? Why? And he says, well, I have been going for years. This is kind of like a habit. So it's just like the researchers found that these people have been in the habit of going to the doctor for so long that breaking that habit to them is a major decision. But to continue to go, not a problem, not a problem, not a problem. I said, well, how are you feeling? I said, well, they haven't been any help. Why don't you stop? He said, well, I've been going for so long. How cool is that? Now, this is my, obviously you can see I'm African American, right? Okay. So when we were teenagers, he was this rebellious kid, you know, oh, fight the power, black power, oh, independence. What happened to that kid back when we were teenagers, you know? Don't you think it's time for a little independence here? And I said, okay, fine. So wound clinic, lost that one. He's going to go back to the wound clinic. I said, how's it going? He said, well, it's going pretty good. I feel fine, you know. He says, well, I got to go back to the brain surgeon for follow-up for the tumor that the brain surgeon removed. I said, well, how are you feeling? He said, I feel fine. I said, well, why are you going back? He said, well, it's a checkup. I said, you don't need a checkup. You're feeling fine. Even if the doctor told you the tumor was back, would you get surgery for a harmless tumor that's not bothering you when you feel fine and it's not interfering with your life? And he said, well, probably not. I said, then why go? Cancel the visit. And he said, well, I'm going to go anyway. Now, it doesn't matter if you agree with my mother or my brother. That's not the point here, whether they're right or wrong. Maybe they're right. Who could, I don't know. I'm not even going to touch that. But the point is, they are loyal, and logic will not sway them. The medical industrial complex owns their time and their money. Mm-hmm. Yep. That is the problem. And even when they are confronted by the medical industrial complex, by their own experience, by their own observation, that what they are doing is of no medical benefit to them, they persist in doing it. And this is not a problem with elderly people. It is really a problem with people of all ages. It's just that the insurance lobby, I'm just using it as the insurance lobby, but they're not lobbying the government. They just have all the money now because of people feeling obligated to buy insurance. So they've got the cash, and so they're paying for the research, and they're disseminating the information. And so what they're finding then is a logical message saying to a person that you should not get this medical care because it's not going to be helpful to you, and it may even be harmful. That is not going to deter anyone from getting care for two reasons. One, they feel morally obligated, and two, it's such a habit, and yes, just keep going with the habit. So what this means then, for the people who want to give the message being, we've got your premium insurance money, stay home so we can keep the money and have a bunch of profits. They now know, based on this research, that they should not in any way attempt to logically convince anyone not to receive health care. Instead, they have to give an emotional message, letting people know that it is their moral obligation to refuse care that might not be beneficial. And that they need to establish a new habit to replace the old habit. So they have to talk to people about habits, and they have to talk to them about moral obligation. And that is what's going to sway people. So look for advertisements on TV or commercials or wherever advertisements occur. I seem to be out of the advertising flow, so I don't get the advertisements. But look for messages based on moral obligation and habit. So these so-called healthcare messages are messages about people doing things for their health, whether it's health screening, cancer screening, or whatever. Look for them. Look for those messages to be based on moral arguments, objects of morality. It's the moral thing to do, the right thing to do, and based on habit, you know. This is a great habit. You need to get into this habit. So it's very, very exciting. Now, the only fly in the ointment, of course, is in the medical industrial complex. It's a three-legged stool. There are three power players, none of which are the doctor or the patient, by the way. The three power players are the health insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, and the hospitals. That's it, period. Those are the three players. And depending on who has the balance of power, that's the laws that will be passed. And right now, the insurance companies have a bigger balance of power. And so they got the Obamacare passed to fill their coffers, and that's been going pretty well. What has happened under the present administration is they've said to people, paying money to the health insurance companies is optional. And so that's a slight detraction from the power that the health insurance companies have. So we will see how this plays out. So what does it mean for you as an individual? For you as an individual, it's a couple of things that this research shows. First of all, that whether a test is useful or not is obviously not based on scientific evidence, right? Because it was based on science, observation, then these tests never would have been recommended in the first place. It's pretty much plain as day that these tests are not useful. So that's number one. So this is kind of a soft confession that getting screening tests is not something that is proven to be a benefit scientifically, objectively. And then if you want to extrapolate that, which I think you should, is all of the recommendations of the medical industrial complex are of a similar nature. In other words, you're just attending a fall fashion show and you just need to decide if this is really the kind of stuff you want to wear every day. The other thing that this study shows is if you want to communicate with your loved ones about a medical decision that is clearly going to be devastating for them, you have to talk about it in moral grounds. In other words, just say, look, Mom, this surgery is not going to be of help to you at all. You have a moral obligation to us kids not to get your leg cut off because we're going to have to push your wheelchair. And it's morally wrong for you to submit to debilitating surgery when it's going to place this increased burden on your loved ones who are trying to help you. So, in other words, that would be the message to give, not this amputation is useless. So you have to put the moral, it has to be a moral message. The next thing you need to talk about is habits. And like brushing your teeth, for example. You need to talk about this medical care just like you talk about brushing your teeth. Mom, there are certain habits that you need to have in order to be healthy. And one habit is instead of going to the doctor every year, maybe do 10 sit-ups every year. So, or instead of going to the doctor every year, do a colonic once a year. Any ritual, you know. Mom, maybe you should touch your toes and turn around 10 times. Whatever you want to say, fill in the blank there. So you want to talk about habits, and you want to talk about moral obligation. That is the way to influence people. This logical stuff like I'm talking about, no. You can start with logic to convince yourself of whether or not something should or shouldn't be done. But if you're going to talk to the individual, the potential victim, you have to keep it emotional. You have to keep it on a level of moral obligation, either to themselves or to God, or to the relatives who are caring for them. You've got to get it on that moral. You've got to get on that moral obligation thing. You can't paint the medical industrial complex as the enemy. That's not going to work. They're your friends, of course they are. But you have a moral obligation, Mom, to not get these screening tests because, you know, other people need them. You don't need them, and you need to leave these tests for other people. Because there's only so many doctors, Mom. So it, you have to keep it on a moral level. The intellectual level, which is a bunch of nonsense, not going to work. No takers. That sale will not fly. So that's one piece of information. The next piece of way to take this research is to ask yourself, hey, wait a minute. Am I making an emotional decision here? Do I have a health insurance policy? Am I paying premiums every month for something I'm afraid to use? You have to ask yourself that. Because now, you know, the present administration in the United States has said, hey, you have no obligation, none whatever, to buy health insurance. And a lot of people feel they have an obligation to buy health insurance because they need to put their money in the pool to help people who don't have health insurance or who need health insurance. That's not true. It's the exact opposite. The people who have health insurance are the freeloaders. Why? Because health insurance companies negotiate below cost prices, which is what they pay out, even though the person paying the health insurance premium might be paying way above market prices. So where does the profit in the insurance company come from, or the healthcare industry? It comes from uninsured people who are paying the list price, not the discounted price. And so literally, if you feel like you need to support the system, the best way is to pay cash for your healthcare and not have health insurance. Because the law, this is a law. And is that health insurance companies only need to spend 65 cents for each premium dollar, 65 cents on medical bills. That's their total obligation. And in some states where they have a shortage of care, the insurance companies are allowed to spend even less than that. So obviously, if 100% of people buy health insurance, then you lose 35 cents in the dollar in terms of financial ability to pay for healthcare. And so it's actually lessens the ability of the population to transfer money for needed healthcare. Let's call it desired healthcare. So even if you do support the medical industrial complex, even if you do think that what they're doing is, in some cases, positive, then the best way to support that is to pay cash. Of course, I told Mom, Mom, this doctor is doing exactly what you want him to do. Tell him you will pay cash. Do not show your insurance card. You go, Beck, leave it home. Leave it home. Just pay cash. So, you know, those of you who do still receive health care, if you really appreciate the health care you receive, but pay cash. Don't even use your insurance. In fact, drop your insurance. God will say, well, what if something...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are talking about why natural healers are absolutely no threat to the medical industrial complex. Now, I just want to say a little digression here. So what's really happened with my mother, with my brother, is by using natural means, they have enhanced their ability to now consume more healthcare without dying, just by the way. So actually, indirectly, their actions are benefiting the medical industrial complex. All right. So what you need to see, like I said, is take a look at what you're doing and see if you are engaging in habits that might not be healthy. Number one habit that's definitely unhealthy is having health insurance. That would be one. Having health insurance is not healthy. And look at your other ways you are positioning yourself with respect to medical industrial complex that might be unhealthy. And so are you engaging in habits? Are you engaging in behavior maybe out of morality or moral beliefs that is actually dangerous to your health? When I say activity is dangerous to your health, I don't mean to question your religion. What I do mean is for you to question your relationship with the medical industrial complex and to see if it actually is a religion that might actually be conflicting with your official religion. All right, so we're going to take some Facebook questions. There, you guys are great. So Odette says, if you were my relative, I would hope I would have sense to follow your advice. Dang, they have a national treasure at their disposal. You would think. Nagadeans, can vitality capsules help the body rid of mold exposure residue? Yes. So Pamela says, they don't take the time to do their own research on their own health. They think that whatever the doctor says is a go. Pamela, it's actually worse than that. When doctors tell people, you do not need this dangerous, invasive test, people lose trust in that doctor and seek out another doctor. So this is beyond. So these people have been programmed, really independent of the doctor. So if the doctor deviates from the script, the patient has an internal script that is so deep, so deeply ingrained, that they will actually go find another doctor who will prescribe the unneeded, unhealthy, hazardous intervention that, of course, increases the revenue for the industry. So Adelaide says, don't they do that with the vaccination using the obligation to society button? Absolutely. So when a medical practice has absolutely no medical benefit, none, they have to use the morality argument.
I saw you there, just standing there.
Cedric says, oh, Cedric, bless you. Let's set up the medical testing guideline. Should our insurance company together? You're missing it. The decision makers in the medical industrial complex are the hospital, drug company. They use guidelines in place by lobbying the government, staffing certain committees, their shill, my companies, like. The government oversees.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.